numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey.
Disappearing before our eyes. What are you down to?
Ooh, I don't even want to say it because I don't believe it.
Oh, really?
I don't believe it. 235 on the scale.
Oh, my God. You are fast approaching.
The lowest I've been. I don't really believe that, though. I feel like it's going to be like 239 tomorrow.
Okay. Well, still.
You never know. Water weight, right?
The 240s are in your rear view. Let's just put it that way.
They're in the rear view for right now, yeah.
That's how you should look at it. You should be like, I never want to see that four ever again in my life.
The most upset I am about it is just that Turks and Caicos vacation. Oh, boy. I can vacation hard, Gil, and I did. It was just daiquiris by the pool for five straight days. That threw on some weight afterward, that's for sure.
That will do it.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's talk some NBA draft, some more NBA draft. By the way, we will have Zach Cohen on later to do the same. We'll talk NFL most and fewest wins. I got some thoughts on that.
I got a bet.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Oh, do you now? But let's talk some NBA draft, some soccer with one of these gentlemen who is busy, but yet somehow still makes the time for us, and we are appreciative. It's Dalen Cuff from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at DalenCuff. Joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Dalen? Good to see you.
I'm doing very well. And guys, we never met in person. And Kelly, no. I didn't want to say it, but you look great, brother.
Thanks, man. I've
thought it before, but I just kept it to myself. You're doing amazing. Keep rolling.
I appreciate it. Everybody can compare it to the open that we run before the show every day.
Also, we put up that Oz Perlman thing when he came on our show, and you were double the size.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I really noticed. I'm like, good for you, man.
It's 80 pounds now.
80. Whew.
Awesome.
That's good. Okay. Let's start with soccer. Let's get your soccer plays out of the way, because we've had some soccer guests on, Dalen, and I will be honest with you. This Club World Cup has really sort of flustered some folks. You do have a bet in this, though.
It's funny when you say it, the way you said this Club World Cup, like, what the hell are we doing here? Well, it's a great question. Yeah. FIFA and their money grab has been interesting. It has been weird trying to bet this and even watch it at times. The teams are invested because the program's telling them to be that way, because it's a $9 million figure payout FIFA's giving whoever wins this thing. So they're invested in that regard. The players, it's a little bit different. The conditions have been awful at times, and I really like Fluminense today in their final group stage game. Now, they want to win their group, because on the other side, whoever finishes second in that next group could be a much more advantageous opponent for them. They really were the better team versus Dortmund throughout the course of their opening match. They won their second match against a weaker opponent. They're playing a team from South Africa right now. The Brazilian teams, the South American teams, have fared pretty well in this in terms of form, the way they've looked. They're in the middle of their league season right now, early part of their league season, so they're fresh. A lot of the European clubs are playing, coming off brutal long campaigns. And they're also, from a weather standpoint, they are not adjusting well. And we've heard all the European teams complaining about the situation they're going through with a lot of the with the heat, with the weather delays, all these different things. Well, this game, again, is going to be in Miami, I believe, we are playing today. And I do like Fluminense, even money for the Brazilian team. I think they win their group. I think they win today and move on to the next round.
All right. Fluminense, even money today in the Club World Cup. And you are right. I said it carefully so that I wouldn't mess it up. Gold Cup. You have a futures play in the Gold Cup.
Man, this is where I get a little, is my bias showing? Like, I love our red, white, and blue. I want them to be good, but guys, it's been a disaster. Like, nobody's going to the games.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if these guys really, they want to win, the guys that are there, but they're not the most capable squad we ever have. We are on the side of the bracket with Canada. Canada's had our number. They have been better than us in the last couple times we played them. They've controlled games. I think they know who they are. Their Jesse Marsh has laid out the foundation of how they're going to play, who's going to be playing, and how they can beat the Americans. And they are not scared of beating us on our soil. They did it just a couple of weeks ago, and then a couple of months ago, I guess, in the Nations League. You have a situation, too, where we don't really have a home field advantage here right now. So I think the Canada's got great value on that side of the bracket. And this is the first time both the Gold Cup giants, if you will, Mexico and the U.S., seemed very beatable, very beatable. So on the other side, Panama, who got to the Nations League final and eventually lost to Mexico in that game, I think they could have a chance, man, at plus 800. I like both those teams with just a little bit of value, maybe more of a sprinkle on Panama. I feel really good that Canada could get there, even without Alfonso Davies, who's out injured, and still win this thing. And I think that this tournament and these brackets have set up well for these quote-unquote underdogs. I don't think the USA deserves to be at that price. I understand where Mexico is, but again, both those teams who historically have dominated this competition. That is a thing of the past. I look at those two teams in good value for Panama and Canada.
All right, Canada 5-1, Panama 8-1. Always shop around, of course, for the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Let's go to the NBA draft, Alan. And I know you in your state don't have this available to you. We're hearing a lot of that, by the way, with the draft offerings. It's really a state-by-state situation, as many things are, but really specifically for this draft. Let me just ask you some broader questions about the players in here. One, what to do with Ace Bailey? Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper, both at Rutgers. The team didn't do anything, quite frankly, despite the talent. And now with Ace Bailey, you know, just refusing to work out, there's even, you know, he was listed also at 6'10", and these teams are finding out he's only like 6'7" and a half. There's all kinds of stuff. What do you do with a player like that? If you're Philly at 3, or if you're any of these teams who are thinking, boy, but the talent is so tantalizingly good. Brooklyn has 5 picks. Maybe they trade up a package. Who knows? Who knows what teams are thinking? What do you do with a player like that if it's you making the decision?
There's a couple things here. You got to decouple him and Dylan Harper. They're two different players, and the fact they went to Rutgers together does not mean that one success is going to mean other one success or vice versa. I think Dylan's a lock at number 2. We all realize that. He is a more dynamic player in terms of getting to the rim. I think he's got the pedigree in terms of his father and his brother. Dad was a great player. His brother's a very good player trying to make his way in the NBA. And I think that's a really good pick. With Ace, the upside, as you mentioned, tantalizing upside is there. The problem I would see is not that if you don't work out. I heard Billis say this the other day, and I was saying the other day too, about it's not about the not working out. I don't love that. I'm not a big fan of it. I'd rather see you go and compete. I want to be able to talk to you and engage with you and really lock in. If you don't do that, okay, fine. But I really don't like the lack of maturity, and I wonder who's managing him when you had everything set. Like, I mean, this thing with Philly was set, and there's man hours, there's people invested, there's all these things set up, and then you just eject. What's the situation there? Who's running the show? Are you mature enough to stand up to your handlers at times and say, no, I want to go do this. Like, this is what I should be doing. I really wonder. His game also requires the most maturation as well. So it's not just mentally where he is and physically as an 18-year-old, but it's his game has to develop. Like, he can make a lot of tough shots, not great at finishing at the rim. And I think you've got to be able to wonder about his body physically too. You mentioned the height about it, how much he develops, how much he fills out. And if he's able to be committed on the other end, why Rutgers wasn't any good is not just because they had 2 lottery picks or 2 top 5 picks, potentially. They didn't really guard anybody, which is Steve Peichel's, you know, hallmark. And they didn't have enough money to pay for other good players. Well, these two, when they were on the court together, which wasn't that common because they were injured all the time, defensively, they just really didn't show up. And that's not unexpected of young players, but you want to see a guy that you're drafting in that regard be committed on both ends. I question his commitment, as I just said, in terms of understanding what's going on around him with the situation and his handlers. As I already said that. I question his game developing, and I question his ability to want to play on both sides of the ball. So when you're asking me all these things, I would not take him from the Sixers at 3. I would probably lead toward VJ Edgecombe. Edgecombe is an outstanding athlete, like a freak athlete, a really good defender. His offensive game has to work, but you need an elite skill to really make it in the NBA. His ability to defend and his athleticism are 2 very elite skills that will allow him to contribute to a team right away. Is the upside what Ace Bailey's is? No. But I'm not sure Ace is going to get there. And he needs a runway of guys, I think like 2 or 3 years to really start to understand the NBA game, to really grow into his game, to develop more ability to finish at the rim and through contact. It's a lot of ifs for a guy that I don't think did himself any favors by, again, not just not working out, but when he pulled out and how he did it. I just don't love the process.
My favorite part of all that was how nonchalantly we can now say, and Rutgers didn't have enough money to pay any other player besides those 2 guys.
Yep. It is what it is, boys.
It is what it is now. Yeah. Okay, 2 more questions. 1, best player, in your opinion, in the draft, not named Cooper Flagg, is?
Best player? Who's got the best career?
Let's go best career.
Best career. I really do think, this is interesting. I think Con Knipple is going to have a fantastic NBA career. Now, is he going to be a stud? I think that maybe speaks more to the draft and me questioning some of the guys being an absolute stud. I think Cooper's a knockout. I think Dylan will get there too. I think Knipple's worth talking about in the fact that the guy can play in any way, shape, or form. He understands how to play. He's a really great shooter. He's got good physical size. He's a very good defender. I think everybody, he's not deceptively athletic. He's athletic. He simply is in the right spots at the right times. He's got good hands. He's got good feet. Does he need to work on some of his lateral quickness? Absolutely. But the guy's a good defender. He's a smart player. He can knock down shots. And I, when I say really good career, it's one of those guys that, is he going to be an all-star? I don't know. Probably not. But is he going to help you and contribute to winning for the next 10 to 15 years? Yeah. And I know he'll make hundreds of millions of dollars doing that. I feel very confident in that. And that guy can play with the ball, without the ball, and do all these different things on both sides of the ball and just contribute to winning. And that's what, you, I mean, you look at these teams right now and in the era that we've gone to in the NBA, where you don't, the super teams don't exist anymore. It's what's the depth? What's the contribution? Where are we finding guys to come in and play specialized roles or really contribute in different ways where they don't have to be the star? You need those dudes. And he is one of those guys.
Just go four to Charlotte. It's all we want from a betting perspective, selfishly.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice.
last thing. We got 30 seconds. Last thing. Give me the non-lottery pick. Maybe it's a late first rounder. Maybe it's even an early second rounder. Who tomorrow everybody's going to say, steal of the draft is?
Maybe because I just want to know. Cedric Howard, I just want to know what's going to go on here. I think the guy's story is remarkable, but his skill set and his body and his physique, it reeks of a little bit of Jalen Williams. It has this feeling of he can impact the game in different ways. He is becoming an all three level scorer. He's been off the beaten path. I love guys with a chip on their shoulder that are out there to prove it, that so that they are going to overcome the odds. And this is what I think this guy's about. I'm excited to see his development. I'm excited to see where he goes, because I think he could go in the 20s. He could be like Jalen Williams. Remember, guys, he went in the lottery. Nobody thought that was going to happen. So I'm very excited to see where Coward ends up going and his career development.
Cedric Coward right now lined at 14.5 over under where he gets drafted. Dallin, really appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime, boys. Be well.
You too. Dallin Cuff, everybody. DallenCuff on the old Twitter machine, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back. More draft and NFL next.
The Sports Betting Network.
Kelly, Evander Kane to the Canucks. Your quick reaction.
Oh, man, you got to think about a Canucks play.
There's a new sports betting market in town, and it's called XCUTTA, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. XCUTTA Sports Calcutta, combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own XCUTTA auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event. Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon. Even your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, player, and drivers in the database with the ability for you to add more. Free practice auctions now running daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcutta.com. And for a three-month free bidding subscription, email support at xcutta.com and mention VSIN. xcutta.com, the future of futures wagering. Yeah, Evander Kane. Just traded from the Oilers to the Canucks. There you go. A little hockey update. Speaking of hockey, Luke Swain, about his hockey suggestion, his comment was?
He might have something to text me tomorrow, but nothing he'd like to put out there right now.
Nothing he'd like to put out there now. Well, that's honest.
That's honest. It's how that's how the big-time draft bettors, right? That's how they approach this stuff.
We get tweets.
Get your money in first.
This is the most random group of tweets I think we've ever gotten. B. Morianen. No phone number for Gil. We know email isn't happening. Carrier pigeon time, perhaps, for the contest?
Oh, my gosh. I forgot I didn't bring this up on the show.
What?
I'll bring it up after. Oh, I met the Falconer at the Fountain Blue Pool like a month ago.
They have a Falconer, too?
Oh, yeah, they do, Gil. Yeah, oh, yeah.
By the way, Tim Lawson said it's the best pool in town.
It's a good pool. It's a good pool.
They have a Falconer there.
First of all, I think I creeped them out a little bit with how much I knew about their business practice.
You have a guy.
I was asking 6 million questions. And then I had captivated an audience by, I was explaining how the thing works. I was like, see, wait for a pigeon to land over there and she's going to point something and the hawk's going to take off.
Were you captivating the audience or were you holding them captive?
In between. Yeah. Hey, there were strangers that came up and wanted to hear what I had to say.
You were lecturing.
And then it was lecturing in the pool with a drink in hand. And then it happened. Like, as I was explaining the process, she was like 20 yards away and just like clicked this thing. And this hawk just sails and scared off these little birds and came right back to her.
Wow.
It was incredible.
Wow.
It was glorious.
Man, that makes me want to go to the pool just to
see
that.
I fanboyed out so hard when I went up and talked to her. I was like, by the way, you don't really know this, but like, I do this radio show and we've talked about you like a million times.
And she, it was a she or a he?
She.
She goes.
She was very appreciative.
Listen, Falconer know-it-all, get away from me.
It's just kind of crazy, dude. They walk around the pool, which is like, there's kids running around, right? There's this just dangerous, massive hawk, falcon, whatever, just sitting on her arm, and it's just cruising around the pool.
It's amazing. It's really
wild.
Amazing.
It's really wild.
You want to do two segments on this or just the one?
You know me. You know I can do a whole show on this.
Chance Copperpot, you keep reminding everyone about the contest. The odds of me winning this are dwindling by the second. Get back to talking about fringe sports 80s movies. Speaking of which, did Over the Top get an honorable mention?
I replied to Chance just now. Over the Top is top 20 great, terrible movies of all time.
Sly Stallone, he's fighting for his son's love.
Do you remember that movie?
Nope. Oh. I remember the movie. I don't remember seeing it.
Arm wrestling competition in Vegas. He's got to make some money to pay off some mob boss or something. I'm just making stuff up now. But he'd always do the turn the cap around before he'd really lock in.
Arm wrestling really didn't stand the test of time, did it?
Take off. Over the Top tried. It didn't take off.
Horse racing, arm wrestling. They're not really going to make it.
Oh, man.
Las Vegas 514, yo. Don't forget the pesky news reporter Jack McGee constantly pursuing Dr. David Banner. How did he not catch him? Love that show growing up. Las Vegas 514 also says, remember, it's Dr. Bruce Banner. Sorry about that.
That's right.
Primetime, Cowboys _ Cubs 1, yo. Hey, man. Can't wait to win that entry and have exclusive access to Gilly all season. When I move in, I hope my accommodations will include viewing Indy Race from your rooftop. That's a F1 race, by the way, specifically. A ginormous TV will also be needed as we watch NFC's battles from your lair. That would be
entertaining. You have to take Gil to play tennis every day, and you have to be the umpire. It's really not a fun job.
Imagine Primetime just showing up in my house. Let's go. I got the entry. Let's watch the movies. Rhodes. Hey, guys, there's been a lot of talk about luxury tax. Where does that money go when teams are over the cap? Thanks, guys. Goes to the, that's a great question. It goes to the league, I believe.
Yeah. Where does it go from there?
I don't know where it goes from there. Yeah. It's your best guess. Idea. Scola, when adding top five finishes to your outright plays in golf, Kelly, are you doing both for full unit plays? We get that question a lot.
Yeah, we try to hit on this on long shots because, look, I think everybody bets this stuff differently, so I'm not going to tell you that there is a way that you should do it. How I usually choose to cover it is, so Keith Mitchell is a good example this week of top 20, right? Top 20, I probably have five times as much money on the top 20 as I do on the outright play of his. The top fives, it totally depends on the odds. It will always be as big of a bet as whatever I do on the outright. Sometimes it's twice as much, or even three times as much. But it's usually about even to twice as much, something like that.
All right, good answer.
You want to cover your outright bet and win some, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. Okay, let's. I read more tweets. We'll get to this. NFL most regular season wins. NFL fewest regular season wins. Let's go. Kelly has made a bet. Let's go to most regular season wins first. The Buffalo Bills plus 350. Buffalo Bills prohibited favorites to win the AFC East, but also they got about the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL when you look at it from a season win totals perspective, opponents aggregate season win totals. Bills plus 350, Ravens 5-1, Eagles and Chiefs both 9-1, Niners 13-1. Most regular season wins. Everybody else 18-1 or longer. The Bucks being at 18-1. I get it. It's a bad division, but wow. Okay.
But wow, right? That's kind of where I want. So I made a bet in this market, and I kind of want to just seize on what you said. Of like, okay, how many teams do we think are even legit in this race at the end of the season?
I think those top five that are listed there and the Lions. Even though the Lions have it, remember, the Lions have a tough schedule, but they have tremendous rest advantage aggregate with that rest schedule. I actually think it's those top five and the Lions. And the one that might cause you to be like, really, the top five? I do think the Bills are appropriately priced at plus 350. They should be the short shot. But I believe the value's actually on the Niners at 13-1.
Don't disagree.
Because their schedule is the easiest thing in the NFL this year, top to bottom. So if you, and it does require you to think bullishly of the Niners, but if you do, that's the best price, I believe. What was your bet?
I bet the Bills.
You did
I bet the Bills. Because same thinking, I don't even really include the Lions in that mix this year. I think that the NFC's, but I would be okay with the five that you said. I'm perfectly okay with saying that, but I'm a little bit down on the Lions this year. And I'm high on the Rams, which means that I think that NFC West is going to be a bit of a battle. So Circa had plus 450. There is a big difference when you're talking in this type of bet between plus 350 and plus 450. I know we were just showing DraftKings odds with plus 350. But, Gil, you look at this Bills team. AFC East, I have no confidence in any of the rest of the teams.
No, I agree.
We've heard a lot of Patriots love that I am just not there on.
Of the eight divisions of the NFL, it is the one that I am most confident in its winner.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In division. Aren't they like minus 400 or something like that to win the division? So there's the division. You already talked about the strength of schedule. Fifth easiest when you go, and that includes the division, obviously, but fifth is easiest out there. You look at what the defense was last year. It wasn't good. In my mind, it can really only get better. It's hard for them to throw out a defense that's much worse than what they had last year. So I've got that. And you've got a quarterback at this point, Josh Allen, that I sit here in ooh and awe every week about this guy's arm strength and what he does in the running game. But Gil, he doesn't miss games. This guy has played 16 plus games every season since he's become a starter. And whenever we're worried,
knock on wood.
Yeah, whenever we're talking about bets like this, you're always worried about injuries. But so far, that has just not been Josh Allen. So I like the Bills. If you're getting 4-1 or better, I like that as a bet heading into this year. And you know me and you do not talk about that market really liking that much.
And if Josh Allen gets hurt, obviously, poof to the
See
injury.
You later, yeah.
Fewest regular season wins. The Browns are the short shot at 4-1. The Saints, who apparently are going with Shuck at quarterback, at least he's the de facto starter right now, plus 425. And then the Giants are 6-1. Jets the only other team in single digits here. I get the Browns talk. Right. With a murky quarterback situation. I certainly get the Saints talk with that, the quintessential murky quarterback situation. But I got to tell you, man, I still think the Giants at 6-1 is the play here because and I get it. They have Russell Wilson at quarterback. So you think you'll be able to cobble together, you know, a win or two here and there that you wouldn't expect, man, even with that. Because I've already bet the Giants under season win total.
Right, we're both on that. Yeah,
we're both on that, and I think we have ample cushion for that one. But if you look at the Giants' schedule, if they don't beat New Orleans in early October, you could be talking about not only fewest regular season wins, you could be talking about a deep flirtation with no wins at all. That's how tough their schedule is. So to me, that's the value. I have not bet it. But Giants 6-1 to me represents value.
Yeah, those top three teams. It's just the Saints. I can't get past the roster and how bad it is.
It's
but the division's not good.
It's pretty putrid.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll come back more NBA draft talk. Zach Cohen on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter this football season? VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out on Tuesday, July 1st. What is that? That is 6 days from now. And early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. That's every sport we cover every day at a special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You'll be first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you'll get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now and lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. By the way, correction from Moneyline Marv. We were being stupid. Of course, the NBA luxury tax pool, we know this, split evenly among teams that stay under the cap that season. Kelly's not.
I also don't know what's happening with the second apron and everything, where how all that money gets dispersed. That's part of it. The biggest part of it. I don't know, though.
Well, we know this from baseball, too, which is his next point, which is some owners stay under just to collect the extra money.
Yeah, but they're also at a point now in the NBA, Zach will know this better than me, where you have to, there's a minimum that you have to spend, too. So there's that.
Oh, yes.
And the biggest thing, when you hear second apron, you started talking about this earlier, just think about, we're getting close to the closest we've ever been in the NBA to a hard cap. So it has become so expensive for these owners to go into the luxury tax. If that's when you hear the word second apron, just think the closest thing we have to a true hard cap in the NBA.
Just like that they kept the word apron alive. Don't really hear that word very much anymore.
Matt Brown tweeting, texting into the show, by the way. I have to make a correction. Apparently, I said lock in when describing over the top. It was flip the switch is what Sly Stallone used to do when he turned the cap around and get ready for
Listen, that. If you mess up quotes from over the top, you know that Matt Brown is there to correct
he's,
you.
He's here to correct me.
Well, Jason H11, leave it to Kelly to be a Falconer groupie. Oh, we've long established that as a Falconer groupie.
Kidding me?
Yeah, that's old news. Mike Goosh, coming to Vegas tomorrow for UFC 317 this weekend. Gil, Kelly, any reasonably, as in quotes, priced steakhouse you could recommend on or off the strip? Haven't been back to Vegas in over 15 years. Can't wait to check out Circa. Oh, you're in for a treat. Herbs and Rye, off strip, reasonably priced. I don't know if it's reasonably priced.
I was going to say reasonably priced is tough, but you this is the town with some of the best steakhouses in the world. I will always give a nod to Scotch 80 at the Palms, says my favorite steak in town. And you are off the strip at that point. It's my favorite steak, period, though.
Andiamo at the D. Andiamo at the D. I'm going to say that. Chris Heath, I need Samich to come on and give me the 4-year-old version on how to place this G-Bank first bet VEASAN trifecta. We'll give you the details on that coming up. Zach Cohen is kind enough to join us, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line, part of the whole glue that holds this whole operation together. VEASAN senior writer. Let's talk some NBA draft with Zach. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. How you feeling about your draft bets thus far? You feeling good? Are you a little antsy about them? What's going on?
I'm feeling good. I just feel like I've been so selective, and there was one yesterday that I wanted to bet today, and I just completely missed the boat on it. It was Johan Berenger under 17.5. I mentioned it in the article I did at VSiN.com. That's down to 14.5 now, and I just can't play it there. But he is definitely an intriguing player that I think a lot of, you know, smart teams are going to be, you know, maybe even moving up to try to get.
Luke Swain said him to go exactly 14th to the Spurs was his play at good bang for your buck. So right teetering on that 14.5.
Yeah, I have a feeling he might have had something to do with that draft position move in other Zach.
Well, that's the thing too, right? We discussed this a little bit yesterday or the day before, which is how liquid is this market even, and do we know what a line move even means, or is that somebody like Luke who has a lot of people tailing him? That's all it takes, and I think it's that, right? So there's that going on. I don't know how much we can read into stuff. What is available right now that you would recommend, Zach?
I still think Noah Essengay to go top 10 or to go under 9.5 is the best play that's available. I just feel like there's so much there with the Raptors. He had a secret workout with Toronto. It's the only team he worked out for. They asked him what players he models his game after and tries to watch film on. He mentioned Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, and Kawhi Leonard. So it almost feels like he's just watching Raptors tape. So I really think that there's something there with him going 9. And I also have heard him now linked to Phoenix at 10. So it really feels like that's kind of where he's going to go. And I wouldn't even be shocked if he goes to Brooklyn at 8, which is why I've stayed away from taking him at the exact position of 9. I just like him to go in the top 10 or go under 9.5. Under 9.5 is like plus 175. Top 10, I think, is minus 115.
Yeah, that's the bet that I – again, I only have the three bets. Kneppel top 5, Kneppel to go 4th, which, again, CLV-wise is tremendous. We'll see if it actually manifests. The only other one is a saying, and I went over 9.5, but who knows?
I joined you yesterday, and not 20 minutes later, Zach sends me this video, and it's like, yeah, like Scotty Barnes, Kawhi Leonard, like what do all these guys have in common? Yeah, cool.
Do you feel like it is going, I mean, I guess a trade can blow this up, but if there is no trade, big if, it feels like it's Flag, Harper, Edgecombe at 3, Kneppel 4. You agree with that? And then what happens after that?
I don't know that I agree with that. I think that there could be some crazy stuff. I think Daryl Morey is a complete wild card at 3. Like, I know that Edgecombe's a player that we all think should go number 3. He's a really good defender. You know, he's probably going to fit in well next to Tyrese Maxey, but I wouldn't really be that stunned if you were to take Ace Bailey at 3 and just say, I don't care if you want to go to Washington, we're taking you here. I don't think it's crazy to think that he might take Trey Johnson at 3. And similarly with Charlotte at 4, if it is Edgecombe, I know that we all kind of think Knipple's the best fit there, but Trey Johnson is not, you know, this like ball hog type of player that we've all built him up to be. Like, he can be the knockdown shooter that Knipple is and just maybe offer some more upside. So I wouldn't be shocked if Johnson goes 4. I just think that there's a lot of uncertainty with this draft. And one of the plays that I'm kind of starting to talk myself into a little is Kamen Malawach to go over 8.5 at plus 200, which looked like a lock at one point that he would go top five, top six. But I'm struggling to find the team now that's going to go out and grab a rim-protecting center when there are guys like Behringer, Thomas Sorber available a little bit later on. It's a really deep class with centers and with that type of center. So I've seen him linked a lot to New Orleans at 7. I'm not sure they're going to take him when they just took Yves Missi, who had a really good rookie season. And I'm not sure the Nets are in a position where they can take kind of a role-playing big man at 8. I think they need to swing a little bit bigger than that. So at plus 200 or so, I think Malawach to fall might be a good play.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that what you were saying. One, the Ace Bailey still going third thing is interesting because it's the NBA, because it's basketball. It doesn't, there is a scenario where, unlike in football, right, if you do dumb things before a draft, or if you are not easy, if you're difficult before a draft, in the NFL, you will fall by and large. In the NBA, it's so talent first, right, that it almost doesn't matter sometimes what you do. Maybe you're right. Maybe Daryl Morey at 3 is like, I don't care. He can call my mother names. I'm still drafting him at number 3. And the other thing with Malawach, which is interesting, Brooklyn, obviously now with 5 first round picks. The Brooklyn Nets could literally, starting with Malawach, that's what triggered in my head, they could literally draft their starting 5 tonight. That's how ridiculous having 5 picks is. Yeah. Now, maybe they package it and move up, but I mean, that's the position they're in. What's the scenario that ruins your draft? What's the worst thing that could happen to you and your bets?
I mean, I'm mostly invested in Essanay, so if he doesn't go top 10, I'll be hurt a little bit. And if Fears doesn't go top 5 now, because I had under 7.5, I got a little bit greedy, loaded up a little bit on the top 5, because I do think that there's a lot there with that Jazz at number 5 rumor. And I also think the Nets are maybe trying to kind of arm themselves with draft picks so that they can move up for Fears. If he doesn't go top 5 at this point, I won't win anything. If Essanay doesn't go top 10, I'll lose. So those are definitely the two. I don't have as much in this draft as I have in the past, although I will be looking for plays to add today, just kind of continuing to look at what Gavoni's reporting, continue to look at what Sam Vecenie has. Like, these guys are very plugged in. I would just continue to read that all day. I mean, yesterday, like I said, I wrote it up for VSiN.com. Behringer was out there under 17.5. Now it seems like, you know, all these guys are saying it's going to be 15 or earlier. That's why you're seeing it at 14.5 now.
Mm.
Zach, what are you currently thinking on Murray Boyles? Because you're on his under, right?
Yeah, I have under 14.5 there. That's at 13.5 now. That might be enough of a move where I don't want to take it, although I'd still lean under there just because I do think there's interest from Phoenix. I think I could see him in Portland. Like, that's the type of front office with Schmidt's there that would value a player like him. He's very analytic friendly in the way that he contributes defensively. He doesn't shoot the ball well, but he is a productive offensive player. So I'd probably be looking at under there. And the other one that I do think is a little interesting, I'll mention, is Jaeger Demon in a matchup with Kasparis Jakučonis. I kind of like Demon to go first, which is like plus 170. I view them as very similar players, but Demon is just a little bit bigger, has a little bit more upside. I think that's like plus 170 right now. I don't really see the team for Jakučonis in the top 14.
I did not have an Egor Demon Kasparis Jakučonis matchup on my bingo card today, but here we are with the NBA draft.
NBA draft
right now, Demon lined at 14.5, Jakučonis lined at 11.5. So Zach going the other way on that, going with Demon to be drafted first. Zach, enjoy the draft. I hope it is the first round, I should say. Yeah. The second round, to be clear, is tomorrow night, televised for those who want to watch that.
Maybe more thoughts from Zach then.
Zach will be on with us tomorrow to talk NBA draft round 2, some Wimbledon on the heels of our Wimbledon podcast and beyond. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Cohen, everybody, at Betting on X. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey.
Let's recap all our best bets, shall we?
Let's
courtesy
do it.
Of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Tonight's first round of the National Basketball Association draft. I have Con Knepel, top 5 pick at even money. It's nowhere close to that now. We're seeing minus 1,000. What could go wrong?
No, I'm sure we'll be good.
Con Knepel, 4th pick, exactly, plus 150. He's minus 170 there now. And then this is the one that Zach just cast him down on. Noah Esenge, I have him over 9.5 to get drafted, in other words, past the 9th pick. He's thinking he might go before the 9th, or before the 10th, I should say. So we'll see.
I have heard a lot of smart draft people, and I joined it yesterday, Gil, on that over, and I thought Zach made a very good case both on the show today and then texting me yesterday for the under. So we'll see. We're all a little split on that one.
Saw highlights of the kid. Looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good to me. And then I added a NL MVP bet. Borchard talked about this last week or the week before. I know Michael Montesano's all about Ketel Marte as well. I, too, know I'm about Ketel Marte. To win NL MVP 90-1. It's all about the price. Again, he had injuries earlier. That's what has gotten him about 100, 130 plate appearances south of those of Pedro Armstrong and Shohei Ohtani, respectively. But when you look at non-counting stats like OPS, like WAR, like home runs per plate appearance, what was the other one that I mentioned in there as well? But so many stats. Where Marte is just at a ridiculous pace. So if somehow that continues to manifest, he steers clear of injury, that's a bet I want in pocket.
I like it. I like it.
You, all sir.
Right. Draft bets for me. Lock in. Flip. What is it? Flip the switch over the top. Con Knipple top five.
Oh, I was like, what are you talking about?
Con Knipple top five. Con Knipple fourth pick. Me and Gil both on those. Let's go, Con. We don't really care. Fourth would be nice, but just top five. Let's go top five.
Fourth would be very nice.
Yeah. Jeremiah Fears did take this one, fifth pick, plus 350. I still think he's in the mix there. I still don't think that's a bad bet, even at current prices. I'm trying to... Oh, he's plus 150. He's actually the favorite now to go there. Plus 350, Cedric Coward top 10, 4-1. I don't know that I don't know if I loved or hated Dallin's explanation on Cedric Coward, because he's like, well... He could be a great... I'm really interested to see what he looks like in the NBA, and he might be an interesting late first-round pick. I was like, oh, that's not top 10. So 4-1, we'll see where that goes. Derek Queen was my first bet I made over 10.5. I do not like this one now. He's currently set at 11.5. I think there's been enough rumors once the Durant trade happened of him going to the Suns, and I'd be a little scared off making that right now. Carter Bryant under 11.5, and Colin Murray Boyles under 14.5, which is actually turned into a pretty significant position for me on that one. So
really?
It will be Knipple in that one, the big ones I'm watching. Did add Hawks yesterday to win the Eastern Conference after they got Kristaps Porzingis. 55-1, current number. I shop around. I think if you're seeing something in the 40s, it's probably worth a stab. Look, the East is pretty wide open. I think that was the biggest reason why I made that bet yesterday, Gil. I think that the Atlanta still has some work to do, but I liked seeing them make that type of move of just, hey, this could be a year where the East is weak enough that you could make a run. So 55-1, I got involved in that small. And then Bills, we talked about it 2 seconds ago. Bills most regular season wins, plus 450, will be in the NFL guide coming out here
plus
soon.
450 is not insignificant. That's a nice little bang for your buck.
That's right. That's what we were trying to say before, right? Plus 350 is not plus 450.
By the way, Ketel Marte weighted on base. He outpaces Pedro Armstrong and Shohei. Weighted runs created plus, on and on. And on. Dallin Cuff, kind enough to join us. He's on Fluminense today in the...
Well done.
I always get this wrong. Club World Cup. Why do I have a problem with that?
I don't know, but I can help you out on that one. That pronunciation was spot on.
Fluminense. Even money. And then he's on the Man City Juventus under 2.5 goals as well. That's in the... Is that also in the...
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, and then he did have a future that we did not list here. In the Gold Cup, he likes himself some Canada and some Panama.
Yes.
You mentioned that as well.
Yeah.
At 5-1 and 8-1, respectively.
I don't know that he actually bet those futures. Oh, okay. He was talking about more focusing on them going forward a little bit, matches.
All right. Will Hill joined us earlier to talk some baseball. Brewers plus a half a run first five against the Pirates. Did he not go under also in the total in that game?
He might have mentioned he went under the 7 yesterday.
Under the 7, yeah. Which was, again, I talked about that in the first segment. Will and I had not talked about that previously, so we're sort of simpatico on the under there. In that big matchup between Skeens and Mizorowski, Rangers first five money line for Will as well today, and the Angels in the first five. It's a first five fest from young Will Hill. in baseball today. Luke Swain, Vegas Refund, talking NBA draft with us. Didn't want to reveal his NHL play or two, but he has he came correct with these. Where this is available, and I get it, it's not available in every state, but where it is, obviously, players and exact picks. This came up yesterday, was posted in a lot of places yesterday. Thomas Sorber, 12th pick exactly, 20-1. Now, currently, that's the Bulls pick. But again, remember, if there's a trade and he still gets picked 12, you still win.
Mm-hmm.
Sorber's 12th pick, 20-1. Berenger, 14th pick to the Spurs currently at 5-1. Danny Wolf at 16, the Michigan product where Memphis is currently drafting, 16-1 to be the exact pick at number 16 for Danny Wolf. Leaflet. Is that all? I think. Oh, and Zach Cohen, of course. Zach came in here and threw some water on our, what's the expression? Threw some water on our fire?
Whatever. Yeah.
Something like that. Noah Senge, top 10. He bet minus 120. Now, I guess we could both be right. If he went 10 exactly, we're all winners because we have the over 9.5.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go. Let's go 10 exactly, Noah Senge. Do what you can. It's all brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, first bet and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, first bet, and VSIN. Head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Eric Biggio from William Hill Caesars tweeted in right before the show started to let us know that William Hill Caesars has up July most wins in Major League Baseball. I have not had a chance to look myself. As far as June, Kelly, we got a win with the Tigers yesterday, but pretty much everybody else won too. So
running out of days in June, Gil.
We're running out of days. We're running out of games. We're just running out of time. It's going to be so annoying because it's good. In the end, the Tigers are going to be like, oh look, they finished fourth or something like that. The Houston Astros with a 1-0 win over the Phillies yesterday remain atop the June standings as they defend their 2024 June title. Never underestimate the heart of a June champion.
That's right. That's right.
I believe that's what Rudy Tomjanovich said.
You cannot quantify that.
You can't. They, if nothing else, they are guarding June. The Astros 15-6 this month with a plus 33 run differential. You know what their record is in one run games?
What?
7-0.
That's pretty good.
That'll do it. That's really it, right? That's what it comes down to. Astros 15-6. The Rays and the Diamondbacks, both of whom won yesterday, they're both 14-7. Diamondbacks' schedule remains easier. But by the way, the Rays have one additional game than do the Astros and Diamondbacks. So in that respect, they've got a little leg up there, but the Astros just refuse to lose. Then it's the Brewers, Reds, Orioles, Angels, and Dodgers, all with 13 wins. Brewers and Reds only have 8 losses. Orioles, Angels, and Dodgers have 9. And where are our Tigers? Right after that. Not on screen.
Not on screen. With 13 or with 12?
With 12.
With 12, okay.
12-9.
Let's go. Let's go, T-Grace.
Mathematically still alive, but really, what are we going to do?
Scuba going today?
That was yesterday.
Yeah, but like, he's strategy. Not going again. Yeah.
You think they did the Tigers tune in yesterday? They're like, boy, that Kelly Billen has a new way to look at baseball.
How do they not understand the importance of June and winning it? You got to roll them out there every day, every day.
Again, this is the trippy thing about these monthly bets because I don't know if you know this. These teams have no idea we're betting on this.
Yeah, no idea.
None.
No idea. Don't care.
The Astros seem to know.
Man, I just got wrapped up looking at Luke's just records from the past because he tracks all
it's
these.
Amazing.
Like it's all, you know, we talk about people and being transparent and everything. Luke marks everything down. How about last year, NFL, NBA, NHL draft, 42-12 for over 27 units. 42-12. Do you know what he did in the NFL draft this year? I knew he had a good draft. I didn't realize it was this good because he went a little lighter than he usually
does. And I don't
think
it was like a great draft for people.
For
either.
Most of us, it was not, right? He was 11-1.
What did he lose on?
Mason Graham over 5.5. He went fifth, right?
Yeah, that's right. He went fifth. He was mocked at 5 most of the time, but I guess there was a moment in there where it sounded like he might not. 11-1, pretty good. Coming up, Money Moves, Stormy, next, in the house. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.